new CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome in, everybody, to the flagship podcast. I am Chip Brown, joined as always by our fearless leader at Horns 24/7, the managing editor, Taylor Estes. Taylor, how you doing?
Chip, I'm doing all right. We're recording a little bit later than normal because we had some technical difficulties, but at least we figured that out, at least for the time being. So feel a little bit of a sigh of relief because of that, but I'm doing well. How about you?
Hey. Chopping wood with a butter knife, as always. So listen.
You know, come on.
I mean, that's where I live, right there. Chopping wood with a butter knife. But I was thinking about it the other day, and Taylor, I just dare somebody to challenge me on this, that the preseason offensive MVP for the Texas Longhorns is Bijan Robinson. And the preseason defensive MVP is Alfred Collins.
Okay.
Two sophomores just doing their thing. Five stars, by the way. But my goodness, after what we saw from Bijan Robinson at the end of last season and what we saw from Alfred Collins in his first start in the Alamo Bowl, am I wrong here?
I think you're absolutely dead on when it comes to Bijan Robinson being the preseason MVP on offense. I mean, you know, when he actually was able to carry the ball, you know, and not put on a pitch count because of God knows whatever reason. Yeah. Then, you know, everybody saw what he was capable of doing. I think Alfred Collins absolutely could be the one. Like at the end of the year, we're going to be talking about how he had a breakout sophomore season. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Joseph Osai. His first start was in the Sugar Bowl against Georgia. At least one of his first starts was, and, you know, had like a big coming out party. But, you know, I mean, I think it's a little bit difficult not to at least look at Juwan Mitchell. You know, I thought that he started playing better as the season progressed last year. It depends on how you perceive the preseason. Are we basing it off of the potential solely, or are we basing it off of what they've proven and then them filling a bigger role?
Well, I think both. Okay. Like, I think his potential, like if we're talking about Alfred Collins, what he did in his first start, in his first quarter of his first start, he had the tackle for loss. He had the tipped pass on third down. He had the interception where he sniffed out the screen and was being held and fell backwards and made the interception. And look, maybe I'm a little overcooking the grits here, but I just, the guy is a manimal, you know. I mean, he's 6'5", 6'6", he's 270. He moves like a 9 technique, a 7 technique, and yet he plays the defensive tackle position. He's so explosive. He uses his hands well. I mean, I just feel like the guy is, he's a guy you can move around. You know, you could line him up at defensive end. You could line him up at defensive tackle. You line him up at linebacker. This guy's going to find his way to the football. And I think it's just a matter of time before we see, you know, Pete Kwiatkowski put Alfred Collins in position to make plays, because he has one start in his arsenal and he did all of that in the first quarter.
Right.
And help set the tone. I just feel like this guy's going to get better and better and better. He's the one. Okay, Joseph Osai, great. Probably going to be a second round pick in the NFL draft, motor for days. Great stuff. We saw he took over the Oklahoma State game when they needed him to, and Texas won that game. Alfred Collins is a guy I think if they put him in the right position, he's going to dominate and be an all Big 12 player. I mean, they, like I said, they could play him at the nine technique, wide nine. They could play him at the seven technique as a defensive end, play him at, you know, the three technique as a defensive tackle. This is a guy you need to move around and make the offense panic. Where is he? Where's 95? Where's 95? Where's 95? Because I just think that with that skill set, those physical tools, he's a monster, and he's going to be the guy that, you know, the whole defense is going to rally around, to me.
Yeah.
Now, what do I know? I mean, Bo Davis coached at Alabama. He's coaching the NFL. Great defensive line coach, coached at Texas back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Steve Sarkisian's been with Nick Saban, you name it. Pete Kwiatkowski has coached defensive linemen, DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, I mean, the guy, he gets it. But to me, Alfred Collins, monster.
Okay. I don't know if I would agree with it just yet. I think that it might, you know, I said Juwan Mitchell. I think it may be DeMarvian Overshaw, and I would probably give the preseason nod to. Just thinking about, you know, his production as the season wore on, especially with him playing in a new position for the first time. I thought he, you know, we saw his upside a lot. I imagine that, you know, I know the linebacker position is a little bit of a question mark going into the 2021 season, even going into spring practice. But I do think that Texas has a solid option in DeMarvian Overshaw. But I agree. I mean, I do think, in a sense, Alfred Collins deserves to be probably 1B, maybe. You know, I mean, I think that it's kind of similar, honestly. Like, the reason why I kind of said the thing about Joseph Osai, it's a little similar. You know, now Joseph Osai probably couldn't line up, you know, a defensive tackle, but he did line up at defensive end. He could drop back in coverage, playing linebacker, all of that. So I think that you may be onto something, Chip. You may be onto almost a, you know, a three-headed monster in one player in Alfred Collins. And what is going to be key is going to be making sure that he's in a position to make a play. And I do think that there's enough solid coaching and coordinator experience on, you know, this Texas staff that I don't think that it should be a question. You know, I think a lot of people started questioning if Tom Herman was going to put players in position to, you know, make plays, if they were going to, you know, alter game plans, or is he just going to stick to what he knows and not try to throw in any wrinkles and stuff. So I think that, I think I personally probably have to shake the mentality of, well, we'll see how he like gets to play. And I think a lot of Texas fans probably feel that way, just because it seemed like over and over again for the previous four seasons, you had to ask those questions. You had to ask if the best players were on the field. You had to ask if they're getting enough playing time, if they're getting on offense, if they're getting carries, if, you know, I mean, it's, those were all fair questions to ask. And I think that, you know, I think Texas has a lot of talent right now on the roster. There's question marks, obviously. They have a lot of talent on the roster, but they have a ton of talent on the coaching staff. I mean, let's not pretend like this is some like scrub staff or something like this. This is a solid coaching staff. So whoever it is, I feel like there's enough benefit of the doubt in these coaches to whoever the preseason one is going to end up being, they're going to be put in a position to make plays. And that's the biggest thing, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you have to have guys that the other side of the ball, your opponent has to game plan for.
Right.
And Alfred Collins at 6'6", you know, 305 pounds, and can move like we saw in the Alamo Bowl, where he's sniffed out the screen, he's being held, he's falling backwards, making the interception. This is a guy who gets it, probably should have played more. Taquan Graham's moving on to the NFL, and I think Texas is about to upgrade at that position if they decide that that's where Alfred Collins is best at the three technique. I hope they move him around. I hope they make it hell on the offense to guess where 95 is, because he's that good. And at 305 pounds, it was funny talking to Tim Crowder in the Insider a week ago. Tim Crowder, who trained Alfred Collins while he was at you know, a kid growing up in Bastrop, said, this is a guy who resembles Bruce Smith at the defensive end position. Don't look at how much he weighs. Look at how he moves. Mm-hmm. If he moves like a defensive end at 305, then don't just say, oh, he's 305. We got to put him at defensive tackle.
Right.
How about Keandre Coburn, Tavondre Sweat, and Alfred Collins on the same line with whoever? And we'll get to Marquez Bimage being in the transfer portal, which just sucks, honestly, because I thought Marquez Bimage is a guy who would give this new defensive coaching staff a chance. He, you know, they puffed him up to 272. Tom Herman trying to get him ready, you know, to play the 4-eye, and then Orlando gets fired, and then he opts out of the 20 season. He doesn't even get to experience the Chris Ash experience. And then, you know, now he's like, okay, they're bringing in Ray Thornton from LSU. They're bringing in Ovi Ogofu from Notre Dame. I guess I'm out. I wish he would just stay and battle, because I think he's a talented guy, but I no one compares to Alfred Collins, in my opinion, on that defensive line, and everything starts up front. So I know I'm beating a dead horse here now, but
no. So I was going to actually say, Chip, I was going to be like, is this just like a fresh topic on your mind because you did talk to Tim Crowder in the Insider and it was all about Alfred Collins for the most part? But I mean, you bring up valid points for sure. I mean, you know, I think everybody knows that, you know, you win championships in the trenches on both sides of the ball. There's very few people or few teams out there that have won championships without at least a solid offensive line or defensive line. Most of the times they have both. That's what, you know, in college football, in any level of football, you definitely need the talent up front to, you know, do their jobs, and whether it's on offense or defense. But, you know, I think that I'm really eager to start seeing this team in action. I hope that we're able to actually attend spring football practices. I mean, the state of Texas, as everybody knows, is lifting restrictions on,
you know, have to wear a mask,
all of that. Yeah. And I'm hoping that Texas will at least allow us, if we have to wear masks, that's perfectly fine. But to be out and see, you know, these people in person in spring football practice, but we don't know that yet. So I'm fingers crossed. But I think that there's a lot of players on the team that you probably, if you're a Texas fan going into spring football, you should have a lot of excitement for it. And I do think that Alfred Collins is one of them. Bijan Robinson, no doubt about it, though. I mean, that kid is so good. He was so good in high school. I mean, that's where I think it was almost like so many people were outraged. And it was no knock against Keontae Ingram or Roshan Johnson. It was just kind of like, this guy's a monster. And, you know, Stan Drayton has been known to find and develop really, really good running backs. And this was a guy, a five-star that came to Texas from Arizona, maybe give him a little bit more than 10 carries a game, you know? So I'm excited to see Bijan Robinson in a more expanded role on offense, along with, you know, Roshan Johnson, kind of the 1-2 punch in the running back.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, when you're talking about two sophomores as being your war daddy on offense, your war daddy on defense, that's a good sign. And, you know, I keep hearing from sources connected to the coaching staff that, hey, we like this roster. We like this roster. Now, they need depth on the roster.
Right.
But they feel like they've got a good quarterback situation with Casey Thompson and Hudson Card. Bijan Robinson is as good as there is in college football. I'll say that right now. He averaged 8.2 yards per carry and set the Texas yards per carry in a season record, right, at a school where Earl Campbell, Ricky Williams, Jamal Charles, you name it, Chris Gilbert, I don't care, name anybody, he's got the record for yards per carry, 8.2 yards per carry. That means something to me.
Yeah.
And so excited about that. And I trust Sarkisian to build the offense around Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not going to rotate every other series because it's nice. And, you know, Rojo's done a nice job. He deserves to come in for a series. Okay, great. He needs to come in here and there. But if Bijan Robinson is averaging 8 yards a carry, I'm giving him 20 carries in a game.
Yeah.
I mean, yay.
Yes. Taylor. Roschon Johnson should come in to give Bijan Robinson a breather. Just like, I mean, it's like football 101, right? You play with the hot hand, give them a break at times, and then let them get back on the field and play the backup that is good. And Roschon Johnson, I mean, he is the definition
of
selfless. Yeah. I mean, he's the most selfless player. I know
leader,
definitely the, you know, one of the hardest playing guys on the team. Even last year, he was a guy that the coaches had to watch in practice to make sure he wasn't going too hard, just like Joseph Osai was that way too. There's only a handful of players that are like that, you know, that are kind of in practice pitch count type of thing, just to make sure they don't get injured or anything because they're so aggressive and so intense. But the other thing with Roschon Johnson, you know, he wanted to play quarterback. There's no doubt about it. And when, you know, they, former coaching staff went to him asking him to help fill some depth at running back, he did so willingly. But I still think that in the back of his mind, he did want to play quarterback. I actually had sources tell me that that was something that kind of weighed on him prior to last season about if he was going to maybe consider transferring or something like that, because and get an opportunity to play quarterback elsewhere. But he, you know, ended up sticking it out. I think Texas fans should probably be happy, not happy, but you know, the COVID restrictions that hit last spring, I think that actually helped a lot of former or a lot of Texas players returning this year, not enter the transfer portal because of COVID and stuff. And I think Roschon Johnson, I think it's fair to say that he may have been in that group. Jalen Green was definitely in that group. There's a number of guys from last year's roster prior to the season that were looking into that way. But with Roschon Johnson coming off the bench, that's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong. Like, Texas fans should look at this running back room, in my opinion, Chip, and be like, we're good. You know, I mean, there's enough talent, there's enough depth. Then you throw in the mix that, you know, Jordan Whittington could always line up in the backfield too, as another wrinkle. I think that, you know, this offense may be really exciting to watch, especially with Steve Sarkisian, you know, calling plays and everything.
Yeah. And that's what I'm excited about, because Sarkisian does whatever it takes to get his best playmakers the ball. We saw that in the first half of the national championship game when everybody knew, oh my gosh, you have to account for Devontae Smith. You have to account for him. You can't let him. He can't beat us. He cannot beat us. Mm-hmm. And he got 12 receptions for 215 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first half against Ohio State, because Sarkisian was doing crazy, you know, motions where he's like, starting one direction, going back the other, you name it. He found ways to get him the ball. That's all that matters. And I'm excited to see it. Taylor, we've got to get to basketball and baseball before we get to love it or leave it. And basketball, wow, what a roller coaster. They lose the 19-point lead to West Virginia at home. In a game that everyone walked away going, what the bleep just happened? Then they're down 14 to Kansas at home. They come back and win that game and sweep Kansas for the first time ever for Texas. And then they go up to Iowa State or lose to Texas Tech. Sorry, yeah. Lose at Texas Tech in a game where it was tied at halftime, and then they come out and completely go away from their inside game, go 0 of 11 to open the second half, and it's over and out. And then they go to Iowa State and beat a team that has not won a single conference game. And now we're recording on Thursday, full disclosure. They're playing Oklahoma tonight, and this is a big game. This is a big game for Texas, because they had to play OU in Austin when they only had 8 available players, 5 of whom were coming off of COVID restrictions, and they still almost came back and won the game. This would be an impressive win for me, for Texas, if they could go to Oklahoma and win, because to me, they've lost a little bit of their well, they've lost their identity, which was defense. And you know, Shaka's out of his player rotations. I don't know what he's doing anymore with his player rotations, but my God, no one in the country has what Shaka Smart has with his team. Three veteran guards who can all get in the paint, can all score however they want to. No one has big men, athletic big men like Jericho Sims, Greg Brown, and Kai Jones. No one has all that. And then you throw in, you know, sixth man defensive dive for loose balls, Brock Cunningham. And there's no way that this team, and I get it, COVID restrictions, winter weather. Okay, now we're back to basketball. Mm-hmm. Now we're back to who are you? And I want to see Texas assert itself as a defensive monster here against Oklahoma and then, you know, TCU and then into the Big 12 tournament, because this is going to be a wasted year, Taylor. If they finish middle of the pack and they don't do anything in the Big 12 tournament or the NCAA tournament, this is as good as it gets for Shaka Smart. This is the best team he's ever had. Now, outside of the team that he inherited from Anthony Grant and went to the Final Four with at VCU in 2011 and has not won an NCAA tournament game, not a game, since 2013. Do you know what year it is? It's 2021. 8 years since Shaka Smart has won an NCAA tournament game. And I don't know what this guy's doing. Now, I get it. COVID restrictions. Oh, it's been, he had COVID. I had COVID. I mean, listen, it sucks. But no one cares. No one cares. You have Greg Brown, Jericho Sims. You have, you know, Kai Jones, you got Andrew Jones, you got Courtney Ramey, you got Matt Coleman. And if you go flatline here in March, then they're going to have to fire the basketball coach too. And yeah, that's all I got.
Well, I was going to say, you know, it's almost kind of one of the situations, Chip, I feel that is very similar to the conversations we were having leading up to the 2020 football season with Tom Herman. It was, this is the best team that Tom Herman has, the most veteran team that he has. You know, he handpicked his coaching staff. He did all of that stuff. And there was no excuses for Texas to not, you know, compete for a Big 12 title. We said that, I said that, you know, until I was blue in the face all last offseason, even with COVID. It's still, I was like, this was a down year in the Big 12. It's kind of the same in basketball. How good's Kansas this year? How many times can we say, how good is Kansas basketball? Not very often. And
they have no point guard, Kansas.
Yeah.
And Texas has three.
Right, exactly. And Shaka Smart has, you know, the most talented roster that he's had at his disposal, as you mentioned. I think that's going to be a really big test too, Chip, because, you know, Oklahoma, I think they enter this game with, what, a three-game losing streak. This is their, I believe, will be their fourth game in 6 days, maybe? Maybe a week. Yeah, they play. No, for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a perfect situation for Texas, even though that, you know, they have to go on the road and play. I think it's almost like a perfect scenario for them to either put up or shut up, I think is the way to look at it. I mean, you know, it's almost not, Texans will never feel bad for Oklahoma, but, you know, it's kind of a situation the way that the end of the season is playing out for a lot of teams because of the postponed games from COVID and all of that. But, you know, Oklahoma lost at Kansas State, on February 23rd, lost at Oklahoma State on February 27th, lost at Oklahoma State on March 1st. So, you know, three games, this will be their fourth game in, I guess, a week and a half that Oklahoma will have, but they're on a three-game losing streak. This is a prime time for Texas to go and secure, show again that they're able to get back to the basics. They're able to do what they were doing midseason prior to the COVID interruptions. And if they don't, I was just going to ask you, is Shaka done?
Yeah. I mean, he's done. I mean, yeah. If he can't get something out of this team, because think about, he loses Kai Jones. He loses Greg Brown. He loses Jericho Sims. He loses Matt Coleman. He loses everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, next year he's going to come back with Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey.
Yeah.
Okay, they're going to, that's a rebuilding year, and he'll be middle of the pack as always. My God, if he's middle of the pack this year with this team, he's going to be middle of the pack or worse next year.
Right.
And Taylor, he has not won an NCAA tournament game in 5 years. And I get it. They didn't play the NCAA tournament. Okay, whatever. He almost didn't even make the tournament or was about to get fired last year. If he doesn't play Brock Cunningham, Royce Hamm, and Kai Jones out of necessity to win 4 of his last 5 last year and save his bacon going into the pandemic. Shaka's fool's gold. I've been saying it for 5 years. I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt this year. Hope I'm wrong. Hope it all comes together. But this team's too up and down for me right now to believe that Shaka even knows what works for his team. He's right. Even saying it. He's like, it's game to game. It's game to game. I'm like, what happened to your rotations where you're playing 10 guys and you're beating Kansas by 25 in Lawrence?
Right.
He's like, oh, well, you know, it's game to game. It's game to game. What are you talking about? Go back and look at what was working back then. And what, I mean, go look at the film and see what was working and get that going again.
Right.
He hasn't done it. And it's, I don't know, when he talks, it just sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher to me. So, you know, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here, Taylor, but it's getting tough.
Well, and you know, we've been talking about that a lot, Chip. We've been talking about when they kind of started going on the slit, like, okay, well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. They were playing really well. But, you know, as we've said, like, it's almost hard not to be like, well, this is a Shaka Smart team. Of course they're going to collapse, you know, midway through the season, or especially once they get to conference play. He's never won an NCAA tournament at Texas and, you know, went to the NIT tournament, what, twice? Right? I think so. Yeah.
Won it.
Yeah.
Once. That was great. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Especially when Texas Cup graphic that said national champions. Like,
Texas Tech's in the Final Four, right?
Yeah. NIT champions. Let's do
Chris
that.
Beard, by the way, Texas graduate. So Shaka, I mean, the last thing you want is to have to buy him out, but hey, compared to Tom Herman, bargain.
Yeah, that's just pocket change, apparently.
Let's see. See if Shaka can get it together. All right, Taylor. So good news before we get to love it or leave it. Texas baseball has won 5 of 6 since getting waxed by top 10 competition and in their 0-3 start up there in Arlington against Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Mississippi State. So granted, the competition has not been the same. It's been BYU and Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and Texas State. Now they're going to go on the road this weekend to Houston and play a 3-game series. And then next weekend, they get 14th-ranked South Carolina coming to town. The good news is that they're hitting the baseball with somewhat more consistency than we saw when they struck out 46 times in that 0-3 start. So, I mean, hell, even Trey Faltini had a hit that brought in a couple runs this week. So let's see. Let's see if they can take their show on the road to Houston and be the ranked team, be the better team, bring it home, keep building that confidence. We're seeing some better pitching, although Pete Hansen looked like he got hurt in the Texas State game. That was not good. But Tanner Witt's been amazing as a freshman pitcher. And we got to see if Ty Madden can keep it going, because he was really good against BYU and he was really bad in the opener against Mississippi State. So let's see if Texas can keep putting it together.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we talked about this after the, I forget what the name, the College Baseball Showdown, whatever it was called in Globe Life Field. Arlington. Yeah. I mean, Texas played the number at the time, number 6, 7, and 8th ranked teams in the country. And I know Texas, you know, is a ranked team, or was a ranked team going
into the ninth
as well.
Texas,
yeah.
Was ninth. Now they're 19th.
Right. Yeah. And, but I think that, I mean, the teams that they played from the SEC, those are all usually some really, really solid baseball programs. There was a lot of external factors, you know, the weather situation. They couldn't practice. School was shut down because of the ice and the snowstorm that hit Austin. So they kind of went in rusty, but I think you just have to keep giving, you know, that was what we said. Let's tap the brakes, not say it's, you know, time to start, you know, shouting fire David Pierce from the bleachers at these games. It's let's see what they can do and turn around. And this is going to be probably their first test. Something funny, Chip. Sorry, I was trying not to laugh when you were talking, because I went to the Texas baseball schedule and went to click on the like link to the Houston baseball page, and it goes to Houston Community College.
No.
Like, that's not how's the team they're playing. I don't know. That's why I was like giggling over here, like, oh, yeah, it goes to hccs.edu.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. UT officials, fix that.
Man. All right. Well, you ready?
Yeah. So Chip, we'll definitely get to love it or leave it here in just a second, where we're going to hit on a lot of more football talk, plus you know, what Texas basketball is doing leading up to the NCAA tournament. We're going to take a really short break, but you definitely want to stick around because the fun continues after the break.
Oh yeah, baby.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found. The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
You want to do some love it or leave it?
Let's go. Let's go.
All righty, Chip. Love it or leave it. There is no one on offense other than Bijan Robinson even worth considering for preseason offensive MVP at Texas.
Okay. Well, in terms of who's put it in the book, who's put it on tape, everyone's going to say, oh, yeah, love it, love it, love it. But I'm going to leave this and say Casey Thompson. Don't sleep on Casey Thompson. Everybody's sleeping on Casey Thompson. Casey Thompson's been told since he got to Texas, you're a loser. You're worse than Cam Rising. You're worse than Sam Ehlinger. Now you're worse than Hudson Card. And all the guy does is grind. And if that guy can continue to put it together and learn this Steve Sarkisian offense – and deliver like he did in the Alamo Bowl, then we're going to be talking about Casey Thompson. Mm-hmm. And in addition to Bijan Robinson, maybe even more so, because Casey's going to be able to throw the football, throw it to Bijan Robinson, probably a lot, but, you know, make plays, do whatever he's got to do to keep the offense moving. So I'm going to leave this, even though on paper, you would look at Bijan Robinson and say, oh yeah, oh, he's the MVP. There's no doubt. He averaged 8.2 yards per carry last year, set the school record. But I'm going to leave this because I've been on an island with Casey Thompson, and I'm going to stay on the island because, to me, that guy has shown through hard work that he can get it done. Hudson Card looks pretty. He looks really pretty. Sam Ehlinger's talking this week. Oh, why doesn't my ball look like that when I throw it? Okay, whatever. But Casey Thompson, why doesn't anyone's ball look like what he was throwing in the Alamo Bowl? And when he was going 12 of 17 last year. So, Taylor, I'm going to leave that.
Okay.
What about you?
No, I'm going to love it. I think that Bijan Robinson has proven more, you know, been more consistently
consistent.
Exactly. Yeah. He's been more of a playmaker. He had more opportunity, but he still had limited opportunity. But, you know, I think that I'm not trying to knock on Casey Thompson. He really only showed it for the most part in the Alamo Bowl. We were not able to watch, you know, fall camp last year. So we have yet to see what Hudson Card looks like in a scenario where he actually is getting, you know, reps and not just getting the, you know, garbage time type of play with walk-ons on the field. So I think, you know, I think Bijan Robinson's the clear, you know, runaway preseason offensive MVP. I'm not knocking Casey Thompson at all or Hudson Card or anyone else. I just think I'm kind of more of the, I want to see a little bit more film, a little bit more of them, you know, in practice in game scenarios before I'm going to be pounding on the, you know, table being like, this guy should be a Heisman winner or something like that. You know, I think it's more, I'm going to look at what we have seen. There's a small sample size of Casey Thompson, and I think that you'll be able to see a lot more, you know, in the months coming, but I think I'm going to love this and stick with Bijan. I think he's the prime, the number one. Yeah, for sure.
And I love Bijan Robinson. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
That guy's a pro. He's an NFL player, and he's the next big thing in terms of Texas running backs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Chip, my second one for you, I'm going to flip it around here. Love it or leave it, there is no one on defense other than Alfred Collins even worth considering for preseason defensive MVP.
Okay, I'm loving this because Alfred Collins, to me, is a manimal.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is just 6'6" of wrecking ball and a guy who loves football, loves to practice, loves to get his hands on people and throw them around. And I get it. DeMarvian Overshawn is a freak athlete, and credit Tom Herman, told him you're going to be a great linebacker. Forget that safety stuff. Get up here at linebacker where you can go sideline to sideline and rack up tackles and have more of an impact. And Herman was right. But
well, the staff also, let me pause real quick. The staff leading up to the 2019 season tried to get him to make the move to linebackers. Todd Orlando and that defensive staff were really trying to push it. And,
right.
You know, DeMarvian Overshawn wanted nothing to do it. Said no, absolutely not. And then didn't get much playing time at all in 2019. Chris Ash comes in and he finally gives it a chance. So, sorry, go up, finish
right.
your statement.
That's right. But no one has the physical tools of Alfred Collins. And he's a guy who just destroys offenses. So I'm going to love this. Alfred Collins, just put him in position to make plays. As my man Tim Crowder said, just don't get in the way. Just tell him, go. Just go. And just sit back and watch the wreaking of havoc unfold. Alfred Collins. Love it. Taylor?
I'm gonna leave it. I think there's a lot of other players that
I think you're just trying to be contrarian.
No. I think there's definitely other players that are worth considering for preseason defensive MVP. You know, I'd mentioned DeMarvian Overshawn is one of those. I'd say he's above, you know, Juwan Mitchell. Another one too, I think Josh Thompson gets the chance, you know, kind of should be in there. I would say it'd probably be, you know, DeMarvian Overshawn probably a little bit ahead of Josh Thompson, but I think that there's a lot of talent on this defense, even though there are places that Texas needs to fill some holes because of either transfer or, you know, graduating, moving on to the NFL, whatever it may be. I do think that there is a lot of sheer talent on this. And I think I would probably go DeMarvian Overshawn, Josh Thompson, and then Alfred Collins. That would probably be my ranking of it.
Where's my man DeShawn Jameson?
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah.
The little scrapper, scrappy do. All
I mean,
he does
from
is make
an overall talent standpoint, if we're talking about the, you know, all purpose preseason MVP, it probably would be more so, you know, that's a good point. It could be Deshaun Jameson, just because he's lethal. You know, if he's returning kicks and stuff, he played, you know, on offense his first year, then switch back to defense, makes plays, you know, I mean, that's the thing. It just goes to show there is a lot of talent on here. So I don't know. I wouldn't give the preseason nod to a player that has started one game when you look at just the overall depth chart. I could be approaching it the wrong way, though. I'm always more of a show me, don't tell me type of person. I've been that way ever since I was younger, you know, I mean, not even just in my career, my personal life. It's like, you can tell me all these things that you want, but if you're not showing me it, I'm not going to believe you, you know? So I kind of take that approach for it. So.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Sticking with my man, Alfred Collins, on that one.
Do what?
All right. We got one more.
Yeah, we got one more here. All right. This is my final one for you, Chip. Love it or leave it. The Longhorns will get out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
I mean, if they don't, Taylor, then I'll drive the moving truck to Shaka's house, because what an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. What an absolute embarrassment. I mean, they fired Rick Barnes for this, for 6 years of no, none, zero, nada, zippo NCAA tournament wins. Come on, Shaka.
Yeah.
You got a loaded team. Joe Lunardi says you're still a four seed in the NCAA tournament, and you're up and down like a roller coaster, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. If they don't get out of the first weekend of the tournament, I'll drive the moving truck to Shaka's house.
Okay. So do you love it or leave it then? You think it's,
I mean, right now I'm going to, are we saying we love that they will not get out of the NCAA first weekend of the NCAA tournament?
No, love it or leave it. The Longhorns will get out of the first.
I'm weekend. Ready to leave this right now. Mm-hmm. I don't trust Shaka anymore. I don't.
Yeah.
So that's sad, because a month ago we were like, oh no, benefit of the doubt, too talented, too good a defensive team. He's got three shot blockers. He's got three veteran guards. He's got junkyard dogs coming in off the bench and Brock Cunningham, Royce Ham, blah, blah, blah. No.
Yeah.
I don't trust this guy with his player rotations. I don't think he knows what works and what doesn't. And he's just got such a talented team that they're, you know, they might just pull something off. But right now, I don't trust this team to get out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
You?
I'm going to leave it too. I want to go back, because I know that I asked this question probably a month or so ago too. And I don't remember what our answers were. I think I may have said the first game or the first weekend. Right. And I think I may have ended up being like, okay, I think they'll win one game, but I'll give them benefit of the doubt for the first weekend. I don't know if they're going to win one game, honestly. I mean, this is, I think Shaka the Cat's nine lives may be coming to an end here, because it's just kind of one of those fool me once, shame on, you know, you fool me, what, six times when your team.
You know what his record is against Chris Beard in their last eight games?
What is
Chris
it?
Chris Beard, UT grad, Texas Tech basketball coach, 1-7. This is like TCU football.
Yeah. You don't want Chris Beard for the head coach, right?
Oh,
I mean, I'm teasing.
You know, he makes $4 million at Texas Tech, and you still got to go. You got to go get him. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to pay him. Yeah. He's going to make as much as Steve Sarkisian. How about that? But you're opening that new Moody Center. Got to have something to show for it. You imagine basketball coach and football coach. That has never happened, Taylor. The basketball coach has never made in the same zip code as what football makes. But if they go get Chris Beard, they're going to be neck and neck.
Yeah. Well, Texas is not, the funding for the Moody Center is external funding for the most part, right? Yeah.
That's right.
So
it's the Moody Foundation giving $130 million for naming rights for that. And then you have the Live Oak third party money, mm-hmm. which is $388 million. So it's
Texas basketball has some some funds that they probably can put towards a new coach if Shaka.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Shaka. Come on, Shaka. Prove me wrong.
That's the thing is like Shaka is such a, like, I feel like he is a guy that you would want to be the leader of young men. I mean, he's a good guy. And I think that's why everyone almost wants to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, Joe Lunardi wants to give him the four seed in the NCAA tournament. So I think that he's really just as a person, very well respected just by the way he's carried himself in his entire coaching career. But you know, I mean, you know, nice guys finish last for a reason, I guess. You're not going to win.
Like facts.
Yeah.
All right. Great stuff. Thanks everybody for being a part of this one. And for Taylor Estes, I am Chip Brown. Until next time here on the Flagship Podcast, stay safe and keep the faith.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.